Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time.
Every spin, I screamed louder.
I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
But yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Welcome to the Semi-Products Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host and Commissioner Rick, here to bring you all of the big news, all of the fantasy information you need for week two of the NFL season. It is just Rick here this evening, so I will be doing all of the rambling and all of the potting myself. Nobody signed up for the pod this week or reached out that they wanted to be on, and I also didn't reach out to anybody asking if they wanted to be on, so maybe it's kind of on me a little bit too. So we will recap week one a little bit. We will go over week two. It is already underway. Thursday Night Football on the Prime is all ready to go. So let's get into it. It's Rick Solo on the OnlyFans podcast episode of the week. We'll take a look back at week one, some things that we got wrong, maybe some things that we did well, some things that we did very wrong at. We'll start off with Duncan, ranked the worst team in the league last week by the power rankings for the officials that be of the rest of the league, and he put up the highest score of the week. So Duncan is officially the best team in the league after 1 week. Four interceptions from Joe Burrow, doesn't matter. He still has Ja'Marr Chase, who was absolutely incredible. Keenan Allen was very strong. Travis Kelce is a monster. And Jags Robinson is actually the number one running back for Jacksonville. Not to mention the one thing that I roasted Duncan for, the Bills defense was the highest scoring defense in the league. So good for you, Duncan. That was honestly very, very impressive to see you have that done. Another big surprise for something that we were kind of wrong about would be Fronik's team, Lamar's Jackson. We started off by pretty much everybody in agreement that his running backs were bad and weren't going to do well. We talked on Thursday during Thursday Night Football. Cam Akers with a 0. Dawson Knox had a 1. The mountain that he had to climb to get out of that hill was big. And it turns out Saquon Barkley is back. Dalvin Cook is back. And Michael Thomas is back. So there you have it. That's kind of all he needed, was to hit on a couple of his guys. They definitely hit. It was a big start to the morning for Pip, but then kind of slowed down throughout the afternoon as Verona came back and more or less snaked away a win. You could call it a snaking. And then maybe I guess we could start with some things that we got right. I would like to start by saying a hat tip to myself, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the hair, definitely looks like he is going to be a number one back in Kansas City. So I'm kind of going to toot my horn a whole bunch about that one. And then we also might have been right about Jordan's team. I personally, in my rankings, wrote it was a hot take that I sent to Pip in the rankings. I said that TD Henry and Aaron Jones would both be top five, but my hot take was that he would start Marcus more than Dak this year, and we are just one more week away for that happening, as Dak Prescott had the dreaded throw the ball forward but into somebody's hand play that Russell Wilson ran into last year, which tanked my fantasy team, which was already very bad, but losing Russell Wilson for a long stretch didn't help. So Dak Prescott struggled. Derrick Henry was bad. The Packers are bad. And Jordan's highest score was was Hollywood Brown with 12. And when that is your big week one from Hollywood Brown, it's probably not going to go well from there. Dalton Schultz looked nice, I guess, but Jordan gets his first smelly butt of the week since week four of 2020. So we're 2.5 years later. Jordan finally gets a smelly butt, 72.96 points. Not very good. So the way that the league comes out at the end of it, just to look at the standings, we have Duncan, Mike, and Brandon are your top three. They all scored 130 points, and your other three winners were Luke, Fronik, and Andrew, rounding out the top there. So we have the other names. I guess there's Tim, Jared, myself, Pip, Scott, and Jordan were all losers. So that was not very good as well. So there's the league going into week two. The week has already started here. Like I said, we're running through Thursday night football. We've got 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. Oh, my goodness. Let's go ahead. I guess it wouldn't be fair if I didn't have any fan involvement for the pod. So what do you think of the Thursday night broadcast so far? We've got Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk calling an NFL game, which is very strange. Calling it with Al Michaels is very strange. I thought we were going to get the slide from Kirk. We didn't get it. I think the Thursday night broadcast has looked really nice. I know when I was watching it on the big TV that's 4K, it looked fantastic. My little TV, it looks just kind of like a normal football game. So I'll go ahead and leave some time for you, the listener. What do you think of the Thursday night broadcast so far? No, that's a great point. Yeah, I thought that too. Okay, that's I mean, come on, guy. Like, that doesn't even have anything to do with football. So let's go ahead and just count that one out. That's not fair. Okay, we've gotten out of hand. We've gotten out of hand. We need to stop. Let's go ahead and start with the matchups this week. Looks like it turns out almost everybody has either a Chief or a Charger on their team. So a lot of teams out here have a pretty decent idea of who the good fantasy teams are. We will start with let's start here with a couple of undefeated teams cutting it up. Lamar's Jackson, that is Fronik, is taking on Luke. He is the Kittle Dipper. In this one, Patrick Mahomes just about 6.9 points so far in here, but it is just it's going to be a tight one. It's projected 112 to 111 through one half of football. We saw Fronik's team have a big week last week. It's obviously no buys or anything, so everybody is just kind of rolling with the same kind of lineup that they had the week before, bar a pair of injuries here or there. I know Luke does have T. Higgins, who is going to have or had a concussion, is going to be coming back from that. So that will be very interesting to see, and kind of a lot of options here as well for both guys on the bench. So it's going to be very interesting how both of these teams set up, which is the same as last week for the most part. I guess the big addition is that Fronik is out on the cam train. Anchors is on to the bench, so he doesn't kind of want a piece of that Rams backfield, which probably safe considering the 0 point production that Anchors had last week. I guess in the meantime, you can only get better from there. Kind of hard to get worse, and so we'll just have to see. Luke, I think, is running with the same team from last week. I think. It looks like, yeah, both of these teams are very solid. I think it's going to be very fun to see Saquon and CMC playing against each other. That'll be a fun matchup. The big thing is going to be if T. Higgins is able to clear protocol, and how Dallas is going to be able to match up with that Bengals passing attack, which even that was super turnover heavy last week, still put up some absolutely massive numbers. So in a bit of a tight one here, let's go Fronik to go 2-0 by just a little bit. I think Thomas looks like he's back, and Drake London put up some pretty good numbers as well in a limited role. And I think Marcus looked really good last week, so we'll see. So yeah, I will go with Fronik there. Listeners, who do you think is going to win? Okay. Yeah, no, those are some good takes. That's fair. Understandable. You're right, Fronik. I did forget that. I'm sorry. I didn't put a lot of time into this prep because I wasn't sure about the... Fronik, I said it's okay. We can... Okay, go ahead, Fronik. Okay, that's enough. Next up, we'll go to a couple of winless teams cutting it up. Drew Spzero Cook, that is Pip Ambler, taking on Justin Jefferson's starship, that is Tim. Pip has an early lead in this one with Justin Herbert's 8.4 points. He unfortunately has a zero right now from his wide receiver three, Marquez Valdez Scaffolding. So not looking so great there. Tim is actually the only team who does not have a Charger or Chief playing in this one. So he's got the full squad to roll with here. Pip behind his it was a very solid Jonathan Taylor game for a guy that they wanted to kind of hold back a little bit at the start of the season. Four receptions, 14 yards. Also rushed for 161 in a game that played a full 70 minutes on Sunday. So that was a pretty big showing. Going to be interesting to see how they use him because they wanted to, I guess there was some talk of load management and things like that. Kind of didn't do that in week one, so we'll have to see how that goes in week two and beyond. And Rex Burkhead is also RB1. I guess Damian Pierce, because the Texans apparently wanted Damian Pierce to be their RB1, but only if they ever had the lead, because otherwise it doesn't work into their game plan of trying to play from not behind. So I guess Rex Burkhead is actually going to be RB1 through most of the season. So that's going to be very interesting to see. Pip going with the great strategy of starting two Houston Texans, which we all love to see. No matter how good or bad the Texans are, starting two of them is always quite the risky play there. And oh my God, I have never heard of this person before. If you had told me that it was a real person in the NFL, I would have told you were a liar. Greg Dortch. I don't know who that is. Not a clue. I don't believe you. That's not real. It can't. That's not a real name. It can't be. Incredible. Looking at Tim's team, I was wrong as well about Cordell Patterson. I thought the Falcons probably would use him as a receiver more. They very much like him as an RB1 with a 100-yard performance. Devontae Adams is a monster. Mike Evans didn't have all that great of a game. He did have a touchdown. I think he had a touchdown. I could have sworn I saw him scoring a touchdown. Yes, he did. He did have a touchdown. Pretty solid point scoring performance there. Just kind of a very, I think, well put, decent team for Tim so far. Even DJ Chark down on the bench, looking pretty good. Jeff Wilson looking to get some more carries as well with Elijah Mitchell's injury, so I think that could be pretty strong. DeAndre Swift looked pretty good last week. This is a pretty good team from Tip or from Tip. That's Tim versus Pip. That's the name of the matchup. And I'm gonna give my tip of my cap to Tim's team. I think he's going to get the win this week. What do you guys think? That was Fat Cat a little bit there. I don't know if anybody heard that, but she is actually very, very quite loud. I had locked myself in the bedroom and Brie let her in, and so she's very interested in what's going on. Jeff Bezos is at the game, not watching the game on Amazon. What an interesting decision from him. Do you think Jeff Bezos has to pay monthly for his Amazon Prime service, or do you think he like has a key code where he gets it for free? Does Jeff Bezos shop online? Jeff Bezos can't shop online. There's no way. He's worth way too much money. There's no way he would actually shop online. I also don't see him going to stores, though, so he has people shop for him, and maybe they shop online through Amazon for Jeff Bezos, which makes Jeff money, but also it loses money because the money that he makes off of his individual purchases is going to be less than what he's paying for the items. Oh boy, the international, he's always like on his big boat. That's got to be tough to deliver to. I'm sure he has a way to get around that. Where would Jeff Bezos shop? That's super interesting.
maybe his girlfriend does it. Would she use Amazon all that much? It kind of feels like, I don't know, like stealing from the family store if you did it. I'm very perplexed by this. I'm going to have to look more into this here. It's very confusing. We'll move on to our next matchup here. We have Jamar Space, that is Scott, taking on Jupiter Smith Schupiter, that is Brandon in this one. Brandon so far just has Yeshua Palmer going. He has 1.5 points. It is a big lead so far in the projections for Scott's team. Alvin Kamara, a very strong showing last week, as well as Jared's son, Najee, who looked, just okay. 9 points last week, 10 carries, 23 yards, and kind of a slobber knocker. In the meantime, it was Scott's wide receivers that kind of let him down. Thielen, not that strong of a performance. Scary Terry was just kind of okay as well. But the big drawback would be that Aaron Rodgers does not have anybody to throw the ball to. So that could be quite the problem. Also didn't help that George Kittle did not play last week, and it looks like he still isn't practicing, so probably isn't going to play this week, which isn't great as well. But we do see Big Daddy Daryl. Looks like he's going to get the start at the flex, which feels like a very strong play, considering he's at worst going to be getting 51% of the carries in the Rams backfield based on how things went last week. I know maybe the Rams want to get Akers more involved. It seemed like he was very bad in pass protection, and maybe that's why he wasn't being used too much. Kind of hard to say. I don't know. I only read tweets about people who watch the All 22. I don't watch the All 22. That's not really my thing. And on Brandon's side, Jalen Hurts is also a QB1 and RB1. Christian McCaffrey is very much healthy. James Conner looks like he came out RB17, considering the game plan probably got away from him. 5 receptions for 29 yards is going to help out a whole bunch. Jalen Waddle's pretty good. The big question mark is going to be Allen Robinson and how that how he's going to do in the Rams offense and what they're going to be up to. But Brandon's team looks pretty strong, especially with A.J. Dillon. The way the split worked last week with him and Aaron Jones, it seemed like he is definitely going to be on the field a lot with both running backs on the field. So I think those are going to be a couple of really good players to keep an eye on. That's very fun. Looking at the benches, they're okay. Let's see. Pick for the game. Actually, let's change things up. Who do you think is going to win, listener? I did forget it. Okay, that's fair. I forgot about that. Yeah. There's no need for name calling. That's very mean. No, thank you. We could do that. Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. Okay. Oh, that leads me actually to my question. Who would be the better waddler to do the Jalen Waddle? Would it be Scott or Brandon? I think I would go Scott, but I think I'm going to pick. Scott would be the better waddler, even though Brandon has Waddle, but I'm going to pick Scott to win. That tracks. That logic tracks for sure. Let us move. No, I'm cutting you off. We're done. That's all you had. We'll move now to another pair of undefeated teams cutting it up. It's our Higher Education Bowl. We have Indomica Supernova taking on Cole Comet. That is Andrew. This is a lawyer and a doctor going at it. So far in this one, Andrew just has Austin Eckler, and he just has 2.2 points. He also has The Hare, who has 3.2 points. Definitely been an underwhelming half in this one. Just 17 points scored as we're moving to the 2-minute warning here, powering through. Mike's team, very much still favored. A very large projection here for his team. Little buddy Kyler, little big guy Lenny Fournette, and Cooper Kupp are definitely leading the way here. And after that, it's very, very interesting team for Mike. It looks like Joe Mixon is still very much a strong number one guy in Cincinnati. And then after that, kind of tough to say. Look, Darren Waller had a tight end one performance, finishing 9.9 points. He was tight end nine on the week, which is, I guess, kind of more or less getting him back to where he was supposed to be after a couple of years. But Davante Adams absolutely took a ton of targets away. So I'm not sure. I mean, he's a fine tight end to start, and he can definitely have those big weeks. But it's going to be interesting to see how those target shares break down week after week. Antonio Gibson is very solid, and then Melvin Gordon in that Denver backfield split, I think, is a really interesting play. Maybe it is time to start Julio. Julio looked very good in the Tampa Bay offense, 69 yards on five targets, two carries as well. So they want to use him a whole lot. He looks fantastic in football shape and just his general looks. And I am very upset that he is happy in Tampa Bay, but I guess I'm happy for him. I don't know. I think I was wrong. I think Julio might have a couple of weeks here where he might be a very, especially for Mike's team, I think he might be, in most cases, his better flex two option, but we will see. For Andrew's team, Trey Lance did not look like he was the guy, so that's going to be very interesting to see how that's going to go. I guess it might rain. I'm not sure if the Niners will ever play a game in good weather this year. I think that'd be very funny. What is their schedule? How far could they possibly go before playing a game? Well, I guess if it rains this week against Seattle, they play at Denver, could get some bad weather, and then against LA. Oh, that's not in a dome, at Carolina. So it'd be at Atlanta, would be week six, would be the next possible time that the Niners play in really good weather to be able to judge how their team is doing. And even by then, it might be Jimmy G time, who knows. It's not a great start. I think we expected a lot more from Eckler and the hair, but this maybe feels like a classic Thursday night game where 3 days of rest and 1 day of travel for practice probably isn't the best conditions to be able to play a good Thursday night game. So not super fun. Maybe the second half will be better. Who knows? The rest of Andrew's team, I think Josh Jacobs was just fine last week. Looks like he had RB34, so he kind of struggled. Debo was absolutely all over the place. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a very clear number one in a Detroit offense that is going to bite off your half three-toed ass cheek or whatever Dan Campbell wants to do. Speaking of Dan Campbell, my hot take about him is that he would be an all-time phenomenal college coach. The way that he talks to the guys and tries to motivate them with all of this stuff, like everything, all of his motivational speeches and all of the little gimmicks and things that he did, I think would actually really work on college kids as opposed to the professionals. And so I think Nebraska should hire Dan Campbell. I think you should absolutely pass on Matt Campbell, go for Dan Campbell, because that would be something that I think he would be really good at. You literally take the whole staff of a bunch of guys who played in the NFL and have them coach college kids, and telling their stories about how they played in the NFL would so much better motivate everybody playing at Nebraska so much more than it would be grabbing a college guy from a state that likes corn and putting him into a state that likes corn. That's just kind of all I have. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, good play. The projections in this one see Mike heavy just because he's got Cooper Kupp for the most part, and Leonard Fournette also, it seems like, to go with him. That's thrown away. Chargers defense is really good. Wow. I keep forgetting Khalil Mack is like a Charger. It makes absolutely no sense. Oh, Mahomes is wobbling. Oh, boy. Let's see. The matchup here. It's, without really knowing what Trey Lance is, it's really hard to know what Andrew's team could do this week. I guess Matt Stafford wasn't super exciting last week either, so you maybe don't want to go with him. But if you're going to go with the stack, you might as well go with the Lance Debo stack. I think it in a much closer one than the experts are projecting, I will go Mike. I know he's projected to still win, but I think it's going to be a tight one. Who's the late guy in this matchup? Waiting for Miles Sanders on Monday in the second of two Monday night games, I think is going to be really interesting. Two Monday night games going on at almost the same time. Oh, that's not going to be fun. No, thank you. So Mike in a tight one. Let's see. So our second to last matchup, we've got Mel Kiperbelt Jr. I'm sorry, I did forget. Who do you guys think is going to win? Andrew versus Mike, the higher education bowl. Which type of education do you like more? Wow, you guys really had a lot to say about that one. That's quite a big deal. So now we will move to our next matchup. It is Mel Kiperbelt Jr. That is Jared taking on Jeff Saturday. That is Duncan. Duncan, the highest scoring team in the league last week, 1-0, taking on Jared's team, who had a pretty tough luck loss in week one. I feel like we didn't talk about Jared's week one performance all that much, or kind of the other guys. How did he do in that one? It felt like it was close. Was it close? I'm trying to find, where's this matchup here? Absolutely hiding on me. He lost by 15 or so to Jupiter Smith Schubiter. Justin Jefferson and Sticky Diggs were both phenomenal, but the Miami defense ended up being Brandon's second highest scorer, I guess made a big difference here. So going into half, Brandon has 11.4 out of Big Mike Will, and he is catching quite the lucky break here, as Travis Kelce only 3 receptions for 33 yards, and DeAndre Carter, the big guy last week who came in for Keenan Allen, who had a touchdown last week as well, only has 1 reception so far on the night. Very confusing because Carter wears number 1 now, but on the broadcast, and also I think as of like a couple days ago on fantasy, he was still number 82. So I was also kind of hesitant about picking him up because I was like, no, the Carter guy, he wore a different number. I'm also an idiot. Brandon, league's number 1 Broncos fan, things did not go too well for him with the Monday night stack. Turns out Nathaniel Hackett, big idiot. I think that's one thing that Brandon and Jared will be able to agree on at some point. Just a couple of nice Charger and Broncos fans talking to each other for that. Zeke Elliott not necessarily having the big week I thought he did. His new helmet and the face shield that he wore, the visor, makes him look like he is I guess like one of those mannequins in like the NFL store where it's just a generic body wearing a Zeke Elliott thing and they don't want you to be able to see the face, so they put like the world's darkest tinted visor over it, is kind of more or less what Zeke looks like out there. So I might have been wrong saying big Zeke year incoming, although with Cooper Rush, who I also thought was the Red Rifle, Randy Dalton, for quite some time, watching the Sunday night game. I was watching it on mute, so I didn't know, and they never showed his name. I just assumed maybe Randy Dalton had some plastic surgery done or something. It also been a while since I had seen Randy Dalton, so I didn't really know what he looked like. So I definitely thought it could have been him, kind of. Let's see. What else do we have here? Devonta Smith, I believe, had a 0 last week, so he can only get better from there. And just kind of looking at the rest of Brandon's team, I mean, Justin Jefferson is going to get the ball a whole bunch. Stinky Diggs is going to get the ball a whole bunch. Both of those guys on the Monday night games going back-to-back with each other, so that's going to be super interesting to see how that goes. for Brandon. And then looking at Duncan's team, Joe Burrow is a monster. Jags Robinson is very much RB2 starting material, I would think, in our league. So moving him up from flex is pretty big, especially considering that Devin Singletary is not good and has never been good for fantasy. Duncan's still able to put up as many points as he did with Kareem Hunt snaking away a couple touchdowns is very scary. Hunter Renfrow didn't even have all that great of a game. The big dropback is going to be, though, that Keenan Allen is not in. So wide receiver three is currently Zay Jones. But Duncan does have Devin Duvernay, the number nine receiver last week, who had his best Hollywood Brown performance of scoring two touchdowns in a week one performance for the Ravens. Duncan was the only person to have bet on Devin Duvernay. So welcome to the Hollywood Brown Club, my friend. While I think about my pick in this one, as things are at the half, it is 11.4 to 6.5. I think I went over the scores already. I'll recap. Hey, it's top of the hour. You're listening to Rick on the Semi Products Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's go ahead and get your picks for the Mel Kiper Belt Jeff Saturday matchup. By all of you to have gone over all of that. So maybe just another sign you should sign up for the pod or reach out that you want to be on the pod, because you guys are obviously a lot better at this than I am. I know that's for sure. So we'll get to our last matchup of the week. We have Colin Capricorn. That is myself taking on Jordan's team, Fran Starkenton. It is a barn burner in this one, folks. A combined two receptions, a combined 15 yards between the two teams. It's bad. Juju Smith-Schuster, one reception at the half. Gerald Everett, one reception at the half. He's just got a couple of handful more yards. So Jordan has the massive 1.6 to 0.9 lead. And this one is projected to be a tie at 112.4. Jordan's team looking for a big bounce back week. No Dak is going to hurt, but Marcus looked very good last week. He is QB9 on the season so far. He had a rushing touchdown. I think it's very much time for him to start spreading the ball around. Drake London looked very good. The offense, like, really did well for what a lot of people thought they would do. And then the Falcons did this thing where, you may have heard of this before, they had a lead late in a game and then they lost. It's kind of uncanny that we've ever seen that happen. So that's very interesting. Derrick Henry, not a great week last week against the Giants, who I guess have a good defense, or maybe Derrick Henry is not good anymore. I don't know. Probably a little bit of the week one jitters. Aaron Jones is going to be on the field a lot. Deontay Johnson is very strong. And then we get the very interesting Marquise Brown and Elijah Moore wide receiver 2-3 combo here as Jordan C. Stack moves to take up both of his flex positions. Which is very interesting. Jordan also going with Gerald Everett over Dalton Schultz. Schultz, who had last week a pretty big week, seven receptions on nine targets with Cooper Rush, seemed to be a favored target. So for Jordan to have to decide to go to Everett, which I guess he's thinking there's no Keenan Allen, so the targets kind of got to go somewhere. He got a touchdown last week. Maybe it could be to snake a touchdown. That could be probably more valuable at the tight end spot as opposed to Schultz, who's probably going to PPR you to death. Not looking so great now. But now, I mean, I don't think Jordan would drop DK or Rashad. Maybe Elijah Moore flips around or something, but I don't think Jordan ends up going to tight end train. So I think the idea behind the play is there. It's just the execution is not working so well from the players. Looking at my team, I'm big on Yeshua. He definitely carried me. Michael Pittman absolutely carried me. Juju looked great until this week. Now not so much. CD was fine. Now he's not great. Kyle Pitts didn't do well. Chase Claypool was fine. The Pittsburgh offense is really not good. Hashtag Team Kenny Pickett. But I think my late late round pickups of Curtis Samuel and Big Bobby Anderson, I think are going to be some decent saviors of mine. And I might get J.K. Dobbins back, so I might have an actual RB2 to be able to start, which I think is fun. I definitely think my team is in high Plaxico potential here with Robbie Anderson and possibly McKissick on the bench. But I'm feeling a lot better about Claypool and Samuel. Samuel with just the I don't know. He looked really good last week, getting into the end zone early, got a lot of targets, got a lot of receptions. So I think he's a solid play. And New England is not good, which is a very scary thing to say. So I think it's going to be really interesting how Claypool can look out there. I think his, you know, good target numbers had a lot of carries as well. So the rushing yards will be out there. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how this one works out. I do agree with the projections. It's going to be really tight. A couple of winless teams looking to get their first win. But in the end, we'll have Yeshua versus TD Henry. That's not going to be fun. That game in Buffalo, so that's going to be interesting and always fun. Let's do our regular Buffalo weather. Did Buffalo wee? That's not what it is. Monday night, rain and thunderstorms. Cool. Fuck. Oh, first swear word. Wow, we're like 40 minutes in. That's cool. Not feeling great about that anymore. Yikes. Yeshua can play through it. TD Henry might be struck by lightning. Is TD Henry allowed to be struck by lightning? Because he may possibly be some sort of Greek god come to earth. Who knows? That's a bad joke. It's a bad joke. You're right. No, you're right. Don't laugh at that. It's not funny. No, and I know the whole bit of me talking and pausing so that you can talk when it's a podcast, when you're listening to this at work, is also not funny. I get it. I get it. No, it's bad. You're right. I'll stop. I'm going to take my team to win, but just barely. I think Pittman is going to have to carry me. I think David Montgomery is going to be able to have a better week. I'm hoping that Khalil Herbert doesn't keep snaking touchdowns and goal line carries away from him, because that was very frustrating in a game where he should have been getting more carries. He didn't get a whole lot. That was poopy. But I think I might have enough to be able to get the win here. And Jordan and I have a lot of guys in the same matchup playing against each other. So that is going to be very interesting to see how that all works out. So that's it. That's podcast for this week. I guess I could throw in an OUFL really quick. OUFL, parts of doing a podcast by myself. An overrated part of it. I probably agree it's not going to sound very good. It's going to be a bad podcast of me just talking for a long time with some awkward pauses. It's not fun. Underrated, I get to control the tempo. Underrated is I don't have to worry about accidentally having the mic on when I have to pee, because I can just stop at any point to be able to pee. That's kind of fun. I liked that. My favorite part is that it's the shortest podcast of the year. And I don't have to worry about downloading the... Favorite part is that I don't have to worry about downloading the audio from Zoom, because that always takes an extra hour, which really slows down the process. Because when you end the game at a decent time, or the recording at a decent time, it takes an extra hour and a half to record and then post everything, which really is not fun. Wait, was that least favorite? That sounded like favorite. No, O-U-F. Favorite part, right. Least favorite part is that nobody was here to be with me. So I will end it by being negative, and that it was kind of mean that nobody joined me on the pod.
Sounds super embarrassing.
Thanks. But that's your fault. Nobody... So avoid this by signing up for the pod or texting me, so that Bree doesn't have to think that I'm extra sad doing a podcast for 11 people, we can have you know, less listeners, but we'll have more fun. That's the theme of the podcast. Less listeners, more fun. So thank you everybody for listening to the Semi-Products Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Semi-Products Pod. Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. And best of luck to you in your matchups this week.
You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money though. Raindrop, drop top, drop top, smoking no cook in the hot pot, fucking on your bitch, yeah, dot, 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 cooking up dope in the crock pot, pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga. Hey. I don't try nobody, go your trigger, but call up the gang and they come and get gang. Grab me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie, bad, cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas is savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie, bad, cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas is savage, ruthless. Hey. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. All set. Records on records, get back, get some back, get some riding around in a coupe. I take your pick right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Ooh.